special prayer request we want to pray for this morning. My dad told his sister that we would, so we'll do that this morning for her. My aunt Lois, my dad's sister, got some news. She went for some testing and got some news that there's some cancer cells in her body, and she's very upset. She's in her 70s, I guess mid 70s, and we want to pray for Lois this morning. Lois is a Christian woman, a godly woman, and she's scared. She was crying on the phone with my dad last night. She said, please have your church pray. So I want to ask the church to agree with me this morning for Lois, that God will bring healing to her. We know God can, right? We know God can. We want to pray that God bring healing. So if y'all would just be agreeing with me right now. Lord, we lift up Lois right now, my aunt, my father's sister, who is scared, who has gotten news that nobody wants to get. But we know the good news can cancel out the bad news. We know you are the final authority. The doctor report isn't. We know you can go into her body, God, and you can perform a miracle. You can kill every cancer cell. You can make her whole. You're the same blood that saves her soul is the same blood that heals her flesh. And we pray for healing for Lois. We lift it before you, God, that you hear this prayer as we pray in agreement that cancer be gone and that she be made whole in the name of Jesus, the only name whereby healing can come. And we give that to you, Lord. Give her peace during this time and give her rest. And let her not worry, but give her supernatural peace to flood her soul during this time. In the name of Jesus we pray. And church says, amen. Thank you so much. Thank you, Marjorie. I appreciate that. All right. We're going to be talking about being clean today. We're going to start in the book of Psalms, chapter 51. I was out doing a yard work Friday. It was so much nicer. The humidity was down, and I didn't get near as grouchy. And spent about 6 hours out there in the yard. And I was dirty. Melanie saw me. She even called me Dirty Boy. Hey, Dirty Boy. Nobody's mind go nowhere, okay? But she says, you're a dirty boy. I was stained, grass, dirt. Here's me. Anything I do, I get into it. You'll always know when I ate because it'll be all over me. When I work, I get dirty. I don't try to be clean. I just lay it all out. And I come in the house, and I was so nasty and dirty. Grass stuck to me and dirt and just, you know, I'm clipping limbs and trees and mowing, and I'm just nasty. Oh, I was nasty. But guess what I did? Anybody want to guess? Yeah, Melanie was really glad about that. I got in a shower. I came out, got dressed. Melanie's expression was priceless. She went, man, you look different. I cleaned up, and it felt so good. The hot water, the shampoo, yes, shampoo, and the body wash, and just, oh, I felt so good, like a new person. There's nothing that feels better when you're nasty and dirty than a good old shower, or a few old timers, a good old bath, I reckon. I don't know how y'all do that, but that's your thing. Shower, all clean, fresh. I'm beginning to think about how that's how we are in Christ, that we were dirty and we were nasty, we were stinking, but how the blood of Jesus changed everything. And how we are clean in Him. And how we don't have to let what we've always been. Even this, let me go deeper than that. Everybody talk about the past, that's easy. What about if you're not in a good place today, right now? That's what's really tough to talk about. I'm not really good now, Pastor. I'm not really where I want to be right now. Jesus paid the price for you to be clean in His eyes. Church, we'll never be clean in our own eyes because we're never good enough in our own eyes. We're never good enough. We can never get it right. That's why people that take too many selfies end up with psychological problems because they can never get the picture right. They'll take 10 snaps to try to get the exact right. Well, no, my lips don't look right there. No, one eye's half closed. No, my hair's right there. No, I got this. No, and they adjust themselves so they get the perfect picture. My daughter took I don't know how many selfies, and guess what? They ain't one of them perfect. She's perfect. You're perfect, baby. I love you. You're such perfect. But There's no perfect picture. Spiritually, we try to be perfect. God, I got to be perfect. I'll serve you, but I got to be perfect. I can't do this. I can't do this. Lord, once I get perfect, I'll serve you. Once I get perfect, I'll go to church. Do any perfect people go to the doctor? You go to the doctor when you're sick, when something's wrong. Perfect, healthy people don't just pop up. I'll call the doctor. I feel great. We call the doctor because there's something's wrong with us. That's like saying, I'll go to church because I'm feel great. I'm perfect. We go to church because we are in need. We go to church because there's something in our lives we need filled. We go to church because we're broken and we're hurting and we're battling. Every single one of us are battling. Let's get into Scripture. Psalms 51. We're going to read verses 51:5 says this. Behold, this is David speaking, I was shapen in iniquity. In sin did my mother conceive me. This is not talking about out of wedlock pregnancy. What he's talking about is, in sin did I come forth. In other words, I was born with sin. Now, people have a hard time processing that. We'll get to that in a little bit, because we get mad about that when people say that. What do you mean I was born into sin? That little baby, you know, when you first have that little baby, it's born into sin. And we see the sin nature very quickly. Why do they call it the terrible twos? Sin. The horrible fours. Sin. The unbearable 16-year-old. Major double-up sin. It's that nature comes out of all of us. That's why we defy. You don't ever teach. Has Maddie ever sassed you back? Did you teach her to do that? Mindy said, hey, Maddie. Now, when I say something you don't like, you go, no, Mom, I'm not doing it. Okay, let's practice. She doesn't do that. She has to beat her hind end to an inch of her life so she don't do that. Oh, did I offend someone? Sorry. All these studies coming out, whipping your kids cause psychological problems. No, not whipping will cause psychological problems. Amen. Good Lord. I was whipped. I'm perfect. Melanie makes it very clear she was only spanked one time in her life. One time. Some kids are better than others, I guess. Some are more perfect than others. David's saying, I was shapen in sin. I was born with sin. He's acknowledging that. And so we have to acknowledge, church, that we are born with that sin nature. It's common sense why we do things we shouldn't do. Verse 6, behold, thou desirest truth in the inward parts. In the hidden part you shall make me to know wisdom. Purge me with hyssop, and I shall be clean. Wash me, and I shall be whiter than snow. David is acknowledging, God, I need you to make me clean. I need you to wash me. I need you to make things right. I recognize I'm born into sin, and you're the only remedy for that sin. Now, we just talked about how we were born in sin. Go to the next scripture. Next one. 1 Corinthians 15:21. For since by man came death, and who was that man death came by? Adam. We all acknowledge that. Now, this is a little different than what you probably heard, and I'm a little nervous about saying it on Sunday morning. The Wednesday crowd really loves me. They're really supportive. I've said this before. It's just something for you to ponder, something to process. Did we, ourselves, any of us in this room, have anything to do with original sin ourselves? We didn't. Then how can we have anything to do with our redemption? Our salvation. Look what the Bible says. For by sin, by man came death, Adam. But by man, Christ, also came the resurrection of the dead. Next verse. For as in Adam, all die, so in Christ shall all be made alive. Church, that's some revelation. If you'll just let God speak to you on that for a minute. We had nothing to do with the original sin. People say that, and you know what? They're right. People say, I don't think it's fair. God's punishing me for something I didn't do. I didn't eat no Red Delicious. I didn't touch no Copperhead. Why am I paying the price? Now, I'm being a little facetious there. I think most of us know, I hope you know, that it wasn't an actual apple and it wasn't a natural snake. A little more spiritual than that. But I had nothing to do with that. You know, I was born to my parents. I didn't ask to be born. Thanks. Don't we feel that way sometimes? You know, it was their big bright idea to get romantic and have a child. So here I am. So I had nothing to do with being born. I came into this world an 8-pound bouncing boy. Bald I came out and bald I'll go back. But I came. And I grew up in a good home, a Christian home. I was a pretty good kid. You know, I was overall a very, if my son had been the teenager I'd have been shouting hallelujah all day long. Thank you, Melly. I was a good kid. I didn't do drugs, didn't drink, didn't smoke, didn't cuss, didn't steal, didn't cheat. Oh, Pastor, you're perfect. No, I'm not. I'm like you. I did things I will not disclose. But those things I didn't do. I try to honor my parents. I didn't always. I backtalked Mom. I did. She's got rosy-colored glasses. But I remember backtalking her to the point she'd get so mad at me. And, you know, and Dad would get mad. And I'd smart Mom off. And when Dad got mad, it wasn't ever good. And so I was a good kid. But guess what? As good as I was, no drugs, no alcohol, no smoking, no cussing. I didn't sleep around with girls. They wanted me, but I had to resist. So I didn't do that. And so all those things... Nikki remembers me as a young teenager. I was a good kid, wasn't I, Nikki? Anyway, and Minnie remembers me. I was a good kid, right?
I remember that trip you
made. We won't talk about that trip. Anyway, I was 19 years old. Anyway, and it wasn't a trip like y'all thinking. It was an actual vacation. All right. I got to clarify that in this generation, okay? It wasn't one of them kind of trips. Yeah, I wasn't tripping. Anyway, I was a good kid, but you know what? I still was born in sin. So all my good deeds, me avoiding drugs and alcohol and not using profane words and not sleeping around with girls and not stealing and cheating and, you know, all that stuff and not partying and sneaking behind my parents' backs and doing all that, because I didn't do that, didn't make me saved. None of that earned me a right to go to heaven. You know what it really meant? It meant I was still born in sin and still needed a Savior, as much as the rebel. Now, in this earth, I sowed better seeds and I had better results, and my life's a lot better because of my decisions, but it wasn't unto salvation. Jesus, as in Adam all die, even so in Christ shall all be made alive. What we had nothing to do with in sin as far as Adam, we had nothing to do with in righteousness as far as Christ. He came to do the work. Now, we don't hear that preached. I don't know why. That is the word of God. I don't know why we don't hear that preached. We want to stay in bondage, and churches want to keep their people in bondage or something. I don't know. But the word of God sets you free. Jesus came that you would be made alive again. Next scripture, Brandon. Isaiah 1:8, come now, let us reason together, saith the Lord. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. And though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool. Prophetic word of God saying, though you're in sin now, you won't always be in sin. Though you have a penalty against you now, you won't always be penalized. Though there's judgment against you now, and I use the analogy a lot, many of you in here in this congregation are familiar with court. That's okay. We love you. We're glad you're here. You need to be here. When you go to court and have a court case, and the judge dismisses that case, that is the greatest news as a person you could ever have. When they say your case has been dismissed, it means there's no more judgment or punishment towards you. It's over. You're free to go. You are free to go. This is what Christ did. The judgment that stood against us because of sin was removed because of Christ. And no longer does that judgment stand before us and God. Jesus removed the wall. He said, your case has been dismissed. Forever. Not just as long as you do right, because that ain't very long. If we go a four-hour strip, sometimes we're pretty good without doing something wrong. So, church, we just can't do that. Next verse. John 1:29. The next day, John, talking about John the Baptist, seeth Jesus coming and says, behold the Lamb of God which taketh away the sin of the world. Can you imagine John declaring that? He was already preaching himself and he was baptizing himself. And when he saw Jesus, he declared to the flock, to all those around, see that man? He's going to take away your sins. Think what that must have sounded like to a Jew who went through all the customary regulations of spiritual religious practice, doing all the stuff they thought they had to do to be holy. And then hear John saying, this man's going to take away your sin. That's what he did. Took away our sin upon himself. Him who knew no sin, the Bible says, became sin. Him who knew no sin, he became sin that we could become the righteous of God through Christ Jesus. That's the word, church. This is not me. This is not James' doctrine. This is the word. It's all in your Bible. But for some reason, we keep trying to add something to Christ or something in addition to that when he alone is enough. Next scripture. Hebrews 10. Now this is the meat of the message in Hebrews 10. I recommend all of you that are trying to talk to someone spiritually or point them to the Lord, have them read this chapter. Because here's the thing I hear all the time as a pastor. All the time. Pastor, I can't come to church because I drink. I can't come to church, man, because I'm shacked up, not married. I can't come to church, pastor, because, you know, I just ain't living right. Who is living right, really? Who is living right? And who makes those rules? See, for some people, living right. Let's do it this way. Let's take my grandma, who's a different generation, and we'll take Destiny, who's a millennial. God bless the millennials. God bless us with the millennials. Take grandma and Destiny, okay? If Destiny walked in here this morning and had lime green hair and purple lipstick, my grandma, not knocking on her personally just because of her generation, would look at Destiny, in the back of her mind, she needs Jesus. We've been programmed that way. How can she really love, how can she be a Jesus person looking like that? Now, Destiny loves the Lord. She prays every night. Grandma don't know that. She reads her little Bible every day, her devotional. She don't use no bad words. She don't drink. She don't do no drugs. She's a good girl with that boy. Just say no. And she does all those things. But in grandma's eyes, generation eyes, well, that's really not living for God, that colored up hair and that purple old lipstick coming to the house of God looking like that. Maybe she had a hair accident and couldn't help it. See what I'm saying? What are the standards? Who sets the standards? For some folks, they don't believe in wearing, woman wearing pants to church. I mean, that's ungodly. That's a hell sending fire, brimstone, devil, pitch, fog coming at you. For some, it's like that. In some denominations, men can't have facial hair. I wouldn't have no problem. I ain't got much from here up. But for some men, I mean, if Don walked in some churches with a goatee, and John, y'all ain't saved, brothers. Because y'all shouldn't have all that on your face. That ain't holy. Who sets the standards? And so when I say who's really living right, that's where we got to really get thinking about. This is why Jesus came. To remove the judgment that stood before all of us. Because see, I was born in 19, you know, something. And Chuck was born. Chuck's a little bit younger than me. And our paths have kind of went, we've had different paths in our growing up. Totally different paths. But you know what? I was no more holy than Chuck in the eyes of God. just because our paths went different. I was no more holy. We've got to be very careful of spiritual pride, religious arrogance, thinking because I don't do that, I'm better than them. That's just not true. We all have things that we are very ashamed of. For those who say, I don't believe in going to them old movies and watching movies, let me ask you this. How many of you that believe that? You watch soap operas on TV. Young and the Restless. These are the days of our lives. The Bold and the Beautiful. General Hospital. And I don't watch any of them, I promise. The only reason I know them is I grew up with Mom watching soap operas. That was my nap time, Days of Our Lives. I always thought it was funny. At 1 o'clock every day, I had to go take a nap. And then at 2 o'clock, she'd come wake me up, which I never went to sleep. I'd hear that halftime hourglass, you know, the 1:30 mark, I knew it was halfway over that show. Oh, yeah, we now continue the rest of the Days of Our Lives, whatever. But you know what? Isn't that kind of raunchy? Is everybody on soap operas married that's in bed together? Are any of them married that's in bed together? So for you to say, oh, they shouldn't go to that old movie and watch that old horror movie that's all gory and got curse words in it. Well, you're watching a soap opera where Mike and Joan are in bed together and they're both married. I think that's called in your Bible, old timers, fornication or adultery. Sexual immorality. So who sets the standards? Thank God we got Jesus. Would you want grandma pushing a button? Come up here. Nash. 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 And grandma, I love you. I'm just picking on you because you're a different generation. I'm glad none of us are to judge. Thank God for that. My Lord. Because we would have preconceived our own standard of what we think is righteous. But Christ made all of us righteous. Look at verse 4. Now, this gets good. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 4. It is not possible, that the blood of bulls and goats should take away sins. Verse 9. Then said, lo, I come to do thy will, O God. He taketh away the first, that he may establish the second. He's talking about he's doing away or fulfilling the law. Well, we're no longer governed by the law, but now we're going to be governed by grace. By the which, verse 10, we are sanctified. How many people in here have never heard that word sanctified? Anybody never heard that word sanctified? What do we think about when we hear sanctified? Sanctified. Yeah, what we think, we say it that way, but what do we think about that word? When you hear sanctified, what do you think about?
Righteous.
Righteous. Holy, clean, pure. I'm God's because I'm sanctified, church. I mean, boy, we could preach that all day long. It just sounds good. Sanctified. I'm sanctified. Hallelujah. I can just preach that one thing and have the whole church shouting. We're sanctified. Kevin, brother, we sanctified. I mean, we could just preach that. But it's been really mistaught. We can't sanctify ourselves. Jesus sanctified us. Look what the word says. It says it right here. By the which we are sanctified through the preacher. Through slopping the olive oil on top of your head, you hit the ground. Through running the chairs and shouting hallelujah. No, we're sanctified through the offering of the body of Jesus, our Lord Christ. That's how we're sanctified. Through him. And look, one time, once for all. Hallelujah. I'm sanctified once and for all. We've heard this through, if you grew up charismatic like I did, Pentecostal roots, that sanctification was a process. I got to get sanctified more. I'm working on my sanctification. I'm more sanctified this week than I was last week. And we had a whole doctrine out of that. We are sanctified. The word sanctified means set apart. So, Chuck, do you believe you're a child of God? And you believe if you left this world, you'd be in heaven, right? I believe the same thing. So God has set apart Chuck as a child of God. He set apart me as a child of God. Now, are our actions different? Our lifestyles different? Are our interests different? Sure. Our lives are different. But we are both set apart. We're both children of God because Jesus' blood covered Chuck and it covered me. And we're both sanctified. Sanctification is something we try to work on to get higher degrees of it, like we've been taught. We're set apart by the offering of Christ and believing and placing our faith that he was the offering for that. Now, if you don't believe that, it keeps getting better. So hang on. Fasten your seatbelt. Verse 12, or verse 11. Every priest standing daily ministering and offering the same sacrifices which can never take away sins. Now, doesn't this, and this is not a discredit, it's not at all, I'm not being at all ugly or mean, making a very valid point. The Catholic Church is a huge following in the world. Millions of people profess themselves as Catholics. One of the main things of the Catholic faith is what? Confession. Right. That the priest can absolve the sins. Where's that verse in the Bible of theirs? No minister can ever take away sins. No other sacrifices, no incense being blown up, no candles being lit, no Hail Marys, you know, no duties to have to go do. None of that can take away sin. None of it can. There's no man that has the power to absolve sins. You can't say, you're forgiven, my son, and go your way. They don't have that power. No man has that power, but Christ does. Verse 12. But this man, talking about Jesus, this man, after he had offered one, just one, sacrifice for sins forever, sat at the right hand of God. You know how I'm clean? I'm clean because of that. Because he, one time, offered a sacrifice for my sins, and that makes me clean in the eyes of God. I don't have to keep, there's no more sacrifice needed, church. There's not another sacrifice ever needed. Now, yes, we pray, we read our word. There's times we definitely, when we do things wrong, we confess and we repent and we talk to God about it. But he doesn't make another sacrifice for that sin. I got saved in 1980. 1980 is when I gave my heart to the Lord. I gave it a tent revival. Gave my heart to the Lord. And that blood that saved me in 1980 has kept me all of these years. I've not had to get re-saved, saved again, reborn again and again and again. I gave my heart to Jesus and I got saved. God knew when I got saved at that early age, that when I got a teenager, I would do things that wasn't right in his eyes. He knew I would do things a normal teen guy does when temptation calls. He understood that, but yet he called me that night. Why would he call me to save me to unsave me later? Or why did he call me to save me based, and we hear this all the time. Yeah, he saves you, but now from, and so many preachers have done this. Now you've been saved. You gave your heart to the Lord. Now you go out there and you don't sin no more. Really? I mean, really? None of us can do that, church. None of us can make that promise that we can't sin, that we're not going to sin no more. Or they'll say, you've been saved. Now from this point on, now God's forgiven you for everything up to now. But from this point on now, you got to da-da-da-da-da. Man, some of the Lord's really been stirring in my heart for several years, really. I don't preach on a whole lot. I might do some. But church, the blood is more than just a past forgiveness. It's a forever forgiveness. And if we could ever break through the religiosity of that old doctrine that's held us bound by that, then we could really be the children of God and live with boldness and freedom. Here's what happens. The altar is opened up and the altar call is made. And a young man is sitting back there and says, I want to go, but I can't go. Because I know when I leave here, I'm going to drink again. When I leave here, I'm going to hit the bar again next weekend. So there's no point in me giving my heart to Jesus. We've got to get out of what we do affecting God. He affected us. Hallelujah. That's what happened. He affected us. Now, I'm not saying We intentionally keep doing the same thing over and over. What I am saying is we don't penalize God or hold back on God because we think we're going to fail. We're going to fail, church. We are going to fail in some point and in some way. So trust him that his blood covers your sins. Not just what you've done up to yesterday, but it's a flowing river that continually covers you. Verse 13. For henceforth, expecting till his enemies be made his footstool. And look at verse 14. For by one offering, here's again, by one offering, he hath perfected. See, I told you I was perfect a while ago. There isn't a word. He hath perfected forever them that are sanctified. That's a fun word to say. He is perfected. That word perfected doesn't mean that we always walk the line. The word perfected means we're complete. We're finished. It's done. We are complete. We are finished in him for those that are set apart, for those that are his. They are his. So I've got three children. They're all three different. All three nature different. They're all three my kids. I love them equally. I may not like them all the same, but I love them equally. Just playing. There's things that our kids can do to drive us crazy. They can worry us. They can stress us. They can make us mad. They can make us angry. They can hurt us. But I love all three of my kids absolutely equal. You put them on a firing line and say, Dad, pick one of them. I couldn't. Could you pick D between your two boys? No way. That's how God is about us. Have fun at work. See y'all. Guess how God feels about us. You know, God sees Chuck. I'm just using Chuck because Chuck has been open. So y'all know Chuck, you know, it's Chuck. So God sees Chuck. It's like, that's my boy. And he sees James. That's my boy. I'm so playing. That's my boy. He sees Marjorie. That's my daughter. Lillian. That's my daughter. He sees Mindy. That's my girl. I love that. We're his children. All of us, church. Every nation, every tongue, every language, every tribe. We're his children. And if we can see each other as God sees us, we walk in love and not hate. Next verse. Their sins and iniquities. Whew. I don't remember no more. How's that possible, God? Do you know what a sinner I am? Have you been tracking all my sins? I mean, God, I sinned 30 minutes before I came to church today. Do you know that? Yes, he knows that. He says, I'm going to remember them no more. What he's talking about is the judgment that was supposed to sentence us has been lifted. That judgment of sentence has been lifted off of us. And God is not going to hold judgment against us. Romans 8:1, there is therefore no more condemnation, no more judgment to those who are in Christ Jesus. He's lifted that off, church. I don't have to fear. We hear jokes about it, right? We die and go to the pearly gates. Do I get in or do I get out? There's somebody standing there at the little pad and dropping that scroll. And my God, for some of us, it'd be 10 miles long, right? Dropping that scroll, reading all the things I've done, and hope the good outweighs the bad. Well, it won't for none of us. But Jesus did. He took it off of us, church. He removed the burden. I'm not going to remember your sins no more. Next scripture. Oh, okay, that's it. That's a good one to end on it. I'm not going to remember them no more. Being clean, church, is something that comes through Christ. And that song, Jewel Song, was so powerful, and the words are so beautiful, and it's so meaningful to realize, Lord, I am clean. There's nothing like feeling clean. But the reason we don't feel clean is because we're looking at ourselves in the natural and not in the spiritual. We're looking at ourselves of what we have done and what we are doing and what we will do and what we have been and what we're going to be and not what Christ is and has done. There's a big difference. There is beauty in all of us And none of us were born by accident. I don't believe in that, church. I just don't believe in that. I know that some may be born, as you say, not planned by you, but every life is given by God. And it's still God who makes the heart beat within, what, 10 days, 12 days after conception. Do you realize the heart starts beating in like 10 days after conception? 10 days, the heart's beating. That's amazing. It's a life, church. It's a life in that womb. And God put it there. So though none of us asked to be born, God's hand was in it. Marty, come on up if you would. We're going to pray this morning. Don't go anywhere, though, because right after we're going to get the kids in here and pray over them for their school year. We want y'all to be a part of that. Church, quit basing your cleanliness on what you are doing and allow God to cleanse you today. And stand in His presence and say, Lord, I want to be clean. Jewel, come on back up. Let's do that song again, the clean song. Pull that up, Brandon, if you would. And I tell you what I want to do this morning. I want to open up the altar this morning for you to come. And if you want to be cleaned by God, and this is what this means, church. It don't mean you're not going to make no mistakes. It don't mean you're going to walk away here and never sin again. It means, Lord, I'm coming before you this morning because I want to give you all of me. And I want to know that you have removed my sin today. I'm coming to you acknowledging my sin and asking you, Lord, to make me clean from this day forward. As we open this altar, Lord, I pray that you speak to hearts, that those hearts obey. Give them the courage and the strength to make that step forward. Just to acknowledge, God, Lord, I want to be clean today. I want you to cleanse me. I want to feel that shower of your glory. I want to feel that touch. I want to walk away knowing the judgment against my life has been lifted because of you. And I give you all of me today, Lord. Speak to hearts today to do that. In the name of Jesus. As they sing this song, church, you want to be clean, just come to the altar. Make a decision to step out of your seat. You can stand, you can kneel, and just say, as they sing a song, just talk to God for a minute. Say, Lord, yes, make me clean. I want to be washed this morning. God is speaking to you. Come to the altar, talk to Him.
I see shadows.
To die.
on your feet, sing along. Let's worship for a minute. Altar this morning, I want you to leave this place knowing you are clean. Doesn't mean you're not going to still mess up and have struggles and have battles. But church, you're clean. And when you know you're clean, you see yourself different. You see God different. To know He would take something like me and make me clean. It's a beautiful thing. Don't let the devil lie to you one more day. If you're a child of God, you're a child of God. Through good and through bad, through high and through low, through the light and through the dark, you are a child of God. Through storms and through victories, you are a child of God. You, church, are a child of the living God forevermore. That's why the earth rejoices. That's why it's called good news. That's why it's called good news. Hallelujah. Y'all gonna be seated this morning? Thank you so much, Jewel. If I can get ushers up here this morning, and if I can get somebody to go back and get Mr. Randy, tell him to bring the kids in, I appreciate that. Hey, Mom, you get Randy, tell him to bring the kids out. Thank you. Father, we are grateful for this service this morning. Grateful for your word that teaches us what you've really done for us. We don't have to feel dirty no more, Lord. Thank you for washing our sins away. Thank you that we have freedom and liberty and joy and a future hope that's waiting on all of us that believe in you, Jesus. Thank you for that. We ask your blessing upon this giving of our offering today, that you bless every hand that gives, that you use it for the glory of this ministry and your kingdom. That lives are changed, that lives are impacted forevermore because of the good news. We are grateful and thankful that you have blessed us, that we can sow a seed to bless others. In Jesus' name we give you praise. Amen.